That's a good one. Praise the Lord. All right. I want you, while they're being seated, go to the 1 Corinthians 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm trying not to make a promise I can't keep, but I thought about going through the book of Corinthians on Wednesday night. And we're going to do the first 9 verses tonight and preach about the introduction to the letter of the Corinthians. And again, we'll just go as the Lord leads, but that's what I like to do. I feel like God would be pleased with that. But 1 Corinthians, and it'd be more of a teaching sermon, I guess, but if you're familiar with your Bible, you know the book, and you're familiar that it's one of Paul's letters. And of course, we know some about the church of Corinth. And we'll speak more about that in a moment. The Bible says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you tonight. And we're so thankful for the privilege to be able to call upon your holy and your righteous name. And there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And I ask you, Father, Lord, that you'd have mercy on this thought tonight, Father, that you'd enable us and illuminate our mind, take our feeble efforts, and use us for your glory. And Lord, bless every need that's among us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Spirit of God, that Christ be exalted, make it easy. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Again, we're looking tonight at the introduction to the letter to the Corinthians. Of course, we know this is one of Paul's letters. Paul is the penman of the letter of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now, again, Paul took the gospel there, and it was a very large city, but it was a great business area. And of course, you understand when you got great business, you got great wealth. And with that came their wealth. It came with that was education and philosophy. In other words, they had such knowledge. Of course, the Bible, he tells them on in chapter 13 that knowledge puffeth up. They loved their knowledge. Their knowledge wasn't that of the Spirit of God and the things of God. Their knowledge was secular and humanistic, so to speak. It was all in their own power, and you know, the philosophies of man goes against the philosophies of the truths of God. God doesn't give philosophy, it gives truth. Man has a philosophy. They have a way of thinking. And of course, now Paul, God opened a great door here for these people. And because of their education, their wealth, their education, their philosophy, they struggled with pride and they struggled with a superior complex. You have to be careful. You know, that's why the Bible says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I wouldn't argue anybody about this, but I take that verse literally. I do. I believe it's easier for a camel to live. Well, that talks about a gate. The camel gets on their knees. I'm not saying it don't, but I think I can take it literally. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, again, you say, well, that means if you're rich, you can't go to heaven? Absolutely not. But a rich man has to come the same way a poor man does. He has to come to the end of himself and see himself bankrupt, spiritually. See himself dead in trespasses and sin. He has to say the same way. The poor man, the rich man, we all get in the same way. And that's only one way, and Christ is the way. And so Paul is, he is given the gospel. And many of the people of Corinth made professions of faith. Some, no doubt, got saved. I believe that. We see that in the book. And some Paul wasn't so sure about. And the reason I believe that, because 2 Corinthians 13:5, he told them to examine themselves to see where they be in the faith. Hey, you know what? If you know you're saved and the devil comes up and says, hey, you're not really saved, examine yourself. And we examine ourselves with this. This is the great x-ray. And with this, the Spirit of God reveals if we have it or if we don't have it. Hey, the only way, if you got what this book says you're supposed to have, and you got the way this book said get it, praise God, rejoice. If you don't, get saved. But Paul wasn't sure about some. He told them to examine themselves. And of course, that ought to teach us that we never take for granted if someone is or isn't saved. When somebody comes up, said, I need to get saved, I've never trusted Christ, it doesn't matter how long they went to church. It doesn't matter how many times they testified or what they did. If the Spirit of God reveals it biblically, then we need to take note of that. And y'all know the experiences that we've had here in the last several years up to now. I was one of them one time. I had religion, but I didn't have relationship. And so Paul, he several of them made professions, but Paul wasn't so naive to believe that every one of them got saved because they wasn't changing a lot of them. A lot of them hadn't changed. Salvation comes with change. Conversion brings change. I didn't say perfection, but it brings change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul's dealing with all of that here. Hey, if you change, you'll change. Amen. There is an evidence of it. Right. There's a visible evidence of it. Amen. Old things are passed away. If old things are passed away and all things become new, that you can see that. Amen. That's why some folks, and I won't get into old stories, but you see a change. Now, I do want to notice these verses, only 9 tonight, and I didn't want to get bogged and go through the rest of the chapter, but we are going to look at the introduction of this chapter, of this book, and if God will let me, we're going to try to go through the book on Wednesday night. Now, we may get veered off here and veered off there, but for the most part, being the will of God. So I'm going to ask you, church, to pray for me. Amen. Just pray for me. You say, preacher, I already do. Well, pray again. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to talk about tonight, again, just go to verse 1. Very simple. Paul's right to the letter. In verse 1, we find that Paul's penmanship, or I'll say the authorship, but we know he's not the author. He's just the penman. The Spirit of God is. Paul, very first word. You know, it's amazing to me that in these days of the letter, people started their letter with their name. We end the letter. And folks, to me, it makes more sense to start it with your name. Paul. You go read 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of a letter and say, I don't know who wrote this. Until it says sincerely. But they began the letter with a document beginning with their name. Of course, we know Paul's signature appears 13 times in the New Testament, and probably if we wanted to add 14, but his name's not there, so we're going to keep silent about Hebrews. But this crowd, folks, when he wrote this letter, they knew who Paul was. They knew who he was. Word had got around, as it gets around today. And get this, being very evident, they either loved Paul or they hated him. That's Paul's whole ministry. Some loved him and appreciated him, and some couldn't stand the ground he walked on, and they wanted him dead. How do you know? Well, how many times they tried to kill him? And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but man, all the stripes and all the perils of this, hey, if it had been up to the devil, Paul would have been dead before he ever preached one sermon about the grace of God. But God had a hedge around him. Hey, the world may try to shut us up. And get this, before the trump of God sounds, some of us might get murdered. Paul ended up getting martyred, but not till God was done with him. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. You know what he said? It's time for me to go now. When they stoned him and left him for dead at Lystra, it wasn't time. Why? Because he got right back up, went right back in the city. Hallelujah. Hey, we don't have to fear. Our breath's in the Lord's hand. Some loved Paul, some couldn't stand him. And folks, you and I have those stories. Some people love us. Some people don't. I told you about the time, one time me and James Plumley was eating breakfast at Ayers Market up here. We sitting there eating. Y'all heard this before? You're going to hear it again. And a lady, I figured out who she was. I never met her, never seen her. I know her children. She's gone on now. And you said, you think? No, I don't think nothing. I think she's gone on now. So don't go put words in my mouth. But anyway, her and her husband walked up to the table, and they was talking, and James asked her where they went to church. Wasn't going nowhere at the time. They said, where are you going? He said, Bible Baptist Church. That woman said, you like that Tommy Turner? And I wish James had kept his mouth shut, because I was wanting to hear something. And he said, right there he is. And honestly, folks, before God, her husband vanished in the thin air. I'm seriously, boom, he's gone. He done a roadrunner or something. Pew! And she backed away slowly. Hey, that's how it is. If you can do something for the Lord, Paul knew very well, if you do something for the Lord and everybody like you, you're compromising somewhere. And the world applaud. If the world's applauding you preaching about Christ and against sin and naming it by his first name, if they're applauding you, you're sugarcoating it somewhere. And I'm not talking about preaching with halt and hate. I'm talking about just giving it. So Paul, he knew very well some of these folks loved him, some of them didn't. It was a battle for him here in both places he went. This crowd knew who he was. But Paul's name was well known all over the place. But now we go from the authorship, but now look at Paul's appointment. He said, Paul called. I like that. I don't know if I'm going to get finished, but he said, Paul, then he said, called. Called what? To be an apostle. Folks, Christ had appointed Paul to this ministry. Now, the apostles were chosen by Christ. There were 12 of them. Now, their office never passed down to another for the exception of Judas after he killed himself. Now, I'm not going to turn back to Acts 1, but the apostles chose between Justus and Matthias, and they chose him. Now, I'm not trying to open up a can of worms, but I don't think God chose him. I believe he allowed it. But I believe he's wanting Paul to be the next 12th. That's my opinion. Everybody's looking wild as bucks at me. That's my opinion. I don't find much what Matthias ever did. Do y'all? But anyway, that's my opinion. But Paul said, look, God called. Because you don't understand that Paul had to defend his apostleship to this crowd. Amen. And they did that. I'm going to probably repeat myself a lot. But they did that trying to defeat his authority. And they didn't know how to handle him. Because their wealth didn't shake him. Their philosophy didn't shake him. And he was once rich. He was smart as the next man. They weren't moving him with that. So the next thing they had to do was doubt his call. That's why he dealt with it first. Paul called. Amen. Hey, God's put, hey, there's a call to salvation. God called, when you got saved, you didn't get saved, or God called you to salvation. And I have zero, I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe man has a choice. But there is a call to service. And this was the particular service we know in Acts 9 that God called him. So now I could turn back and, well, I am going to read in 1 Corinthians 15. You don't have to turn. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 through 9, he said, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Then listen to this. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So we see here Paul said, hey, he's given all these evidences of the resurrection of those that have seen Christ. And one of the qualifications for an apostle, they had to see Jesus. And Paul said, I saw him. Amen. As one. Where did he see him at? I don't know if he got caught up in the third heaven when they stoned him at Lystra. I don't know. But I know he saw him in Acts 9. But he met the qualifications. He said, called to be an apostle. So we see the authorship or the penmanship is Paul. We see his appointment. He's called. Called of God. I don't know a whole lot, but I know I'm called of God to preach. I know I got a specific call to salvation, and I got a specific call to service. You know what the Lord did when he called me to salvation? He put me under the gospel, and the Holy Spirit dealt with me through the scripture. Same way with a call to service. And to come in that order, salvation, then service. Not service, then salvation. It's salvation, then service. So, but then we see Paul's authority. Listen to this. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Listen. Through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, get this. Through the will of God. Paul is putting the icing on the cake of his calling. He is informing these carnal believers his call to be an apostle came from the highest throne of the universe. That's why Paul said, I don't have to take a back seat to anybody about my serving the Lord. My call came from the highest call. You know, when I first surrendered to preach, announced my call, I had older preachers say, when I'd go talk to them, they'd say, there's not a higher calling on this earth than the call to preach. Amen. He said, the president has to take a back. And they'd say that to me, and I go, oh, my Lord. What you mean, oh, my Lord, preacher, that's mighty. Yes, that the God of heaven would choose. Come on. And folks, he has a service work for everybody here in some capacity. But now Sosthenes, if I'm saying his name wrong, pretend I'm not. He said, our brother. Now, why in the world would divine inspiration, folks, again, God says be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why is this man mentioned? Well, no doubt, and I'm not going to turn back to Acts chapter number 18, he was a convert, Paul. And he faced persecution for turning to Christ. You can read that in Acts 18. And he was the chief of the ruler of the synagogue. And he probably left there and went to work for Paul and was with Paul. And get this, the wisdom that God gave Paul, Paul knew mentioning his name would carry weight with people, with these people. Hey, somebody, if they looked up to as intelligent and powerful and all of that, got saved. Amen. And turned. And now he's back in Paul's ministry. I'm going to say something, folks. This may be a stretch, but it is important who you identify with and who you don't identify with. Amen. It's very important who you do, and it's very important who you don't. Now, I'm not talking about having a critical spirit toward those you don't, but you got to make it clear, I don't identify there. I'm not going in that direction. Not everybody's going in the same direction. Not even an independent Baptist. Not everybody's going, listen to me now, not everybody's going in the same direction. You got to get in the direction God wants you to be through His Word. And stay in that direction. Now, folks, some people ain't going to understand that direction. They're not going to understand because you won't veer off in their direction every now and then. But you can't, because it's going to get you off track. It's going to get you off. It's going to make you run in the gully. You all over the road? Folks, you drive like that, eventually you're going to get stopped. The policeman ain't going to think you on dope or a drunk. You're going to get in trouble. Hey, you all over the road and going in different directions. Know where God has you. Know what His book says. Know where He has you, and just stay that course. Just stay that course. And so these people say, man, there's something to this thing. A man with the wealth, a ruler of the synagogue, had wealth. He had education. And no doubt he might have been a great philosopher one time. But Jesus passed by and he changed directions. He paid for it. He got persecuted for it. But he never veered from the direction. And Paul, hey, God had him mentioned in this verse. That's right. I believe that we need to note it. He got mentioned in that verse. God put his name in there those times. We need to talk about him. A ruler of the synagogue got right with God. And now he's helping Paul. Now he's backing Paul. You know what he's saying? He changed directions, folks. He got on the right direction. He's not identifying anymore with that crowd. And guess what? That crowd over there didn't applaud him. They persecuted him. See, Paul was on that. He was in that crowd, that worldly crowd at one time, the religious crowd.
That's right.
Oh man, he had it all together according to them. Pharisee of the Pharisees, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin. Man, he had it together. But Jesus passed by and said, "Uh-uh." Can you imagine the anger when Paul made that statement? I count all that but dung.
Yeah. That's right.
That's strong. Yeah. Y'all call that cussing now. I count it all but dung is what he said. He said, hey, it's nothing but rubbish.
That's right.
I'm following Christ now. Oh, my word. A lot of people appreciated it, but a lot of people didn't.
That's right.
And Paul said, there's one that's identifying. And God said, I want his name put in there. I want his name put in. If I ain't got to verse 2 yet, have a J. What's wrong with you? Are you going straight? Leave it to Jay to come back like that. Verse 1, we see Paul's writing to the letter. But now, look at verse 1 through 3. I'm hurrying. We see Paul's recipients to the letter. Let me read them to you. Let me read this to you quickly. We then read verse 1, unto the church of God, verse 2 now, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Paul addresses the local church first. Did you notice that? Under the church of God. He addresses the local church. He speaks of the importance of the local church. Hey, folks. The local church is still important.
Amen.
Many people are watering down the local church. Many people don't think they need the local church. Many people are trying to serve God apart from it. That's not right.
You're right.
He then addresses the people who make up the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. He said, sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. There's two statements that go hand in hand. It means to set apart, be hallowed, holy, speak of separated ones. Paul is letting them know at the very beginning of this is now a difference between them and the unsaved of Corinth. There's a difference now. Y'all have been called out. Y'all have been set holy and righteous in God's sight. There's a difference. Folks, we better get a hold of that. There is a difference now. Hello. Do you ever watch the possessors and the professors? I'm talking about those that possess Christ are really saved and those that profess Christ that really may not be saved. Do you ever notice when those that really possess Christ begin to grow, how those that profess Christ and they're not really saved, how they separate? I mean, folks, you ain't got to do much separating yourself. They'll separate from you.
That's
It could even be your family. It could even be your family, your friends. All of a sudden, you've heard the word, they're fanatics now. No, they're not fanatics in the sense they're saying, but they've just got fanatical for Jesus. They're growing. And your presence convicts them. And when your presence convicts them, if they don't want to get right with God, it's going to agitate them. And you're going to become their enemy. You're going to become their enemy. And you're going to go to bed at night, especially if you're a young Christian, wonder, what in the world did I do to them? It ain't what you did to them, it's who you're representing now, and now you're vocal about it. Amen. Not only are you vocal about it, but you're visual about it. Now you change it. Hello. Now you got a desire to really go to church and be a part of the church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Serve the Lord. You got a zeal now for God. You're growing. You know what? You left them in the tracks. Instead of them getting right with God and going along with you, they're against you now. Paul's letting them know, hey, you're different now. You're different now. And some of that crowd that used to be your buddies, used to be your business partners, used to be your co-workers, used to be your schoolmates, they don't like you anymore. They don't like you anymore. The recipients. Now look at verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two ways of greeting in that text. Two ways of greetings. I'm going to give you these. I'm going to get gone. You and me might say good morning, good afternoon. The Greek said grace and the Jew said peace. Grace and peace. The Greek, very clear. The Greeks said grace and the Jew said peace. So we see Paul is addressing every believer at the church of Corinth, no matter who they were. He let them know from whom grace and peace come from. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus making them all equal. They didn't like that either, some of them. Equal. They began to squabble over their gifts and their talents. And again, I'm not trying to get ahead of that, but Paul is establishing you're part of the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, grace and peace, that you always salutating with. It comes from God, which makes us all the same.
Amen.
Nobody. He's better than anybody else. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's right.
Amen.
Notice thirdly, verses 4 through 6. We go from Paul's, I guess, Paul's rights of the letter, then we see the recipients of the letter. But verse 4 through 6, we see Paul's respect in the letter. Look at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. I like that. Which one is it? Paul's expressing his thankfulness for the Corinthian believers. Even when having to rebuke them and had to deal with their carnality, he even expressed his thankfulness for them. Folks, that sounds to me like a good pastor. A man that loved his people. Get a hold of that. At the Mighty Men's meeting, Brother Shiflett preached a great message. And I think he went the next day and preached to his people. A man that'll love you enough to tell you the truth, he's not your enemy.
Right.
A man that'll give you the truth. If some of our men wasn't here, I'd have preached that outline myself. Y'all would have said, you stole that. God give it to me one day. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. That's good. Paul, folks, it doesn't matter if a man's called and God calls him to preach, to pastor, and gives him a flock of people to shepherd, he may have to deal with some hard things. He may have to give some hard truths that they don't like. And the devil and the flesh will say, he's your enemy. He's not your enemy.
That's right.
You're thinking about it backward. A man that's your enemy won't try to help you. He won't want to see you do any better. He won't want to see you grow spiritually. He won't want you to see the power of God in your life, see victory in your life. He wants you to stay defeated. A man that's your enemy won't try to help you. See, our carnal mind has it all backward.
That's right.
Well, he singled me out. Well, what if he did? Who you think you are? Who do I think I am? Maybe he needed to single you out. But if he loves you, he's trying to help you. Hello. I remember one time in our senior year, we was running wind sprints. It's toward the end of the year. And man, we'd have been out there too long and I was tired. Yeah, amen that, brother. And I was just barely moving. And I got singled out. Sarcastically. Hatefully. But it helped me. Boy, Tommy, you really put some effort in that. Look at you. Oh, yeah, that hurt my pride. But you know what? It also did. It humbled me. You know what I was thinking? Ain't nobody going to notice this. Who cares? Hey, you got a pastor that notices your life. Come on. Paul, he's still in trying to encourage them, let them know he loved them, and trying to encourage them. Hey, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, man, he said, man, y'all God's children, I'm thankful for you, and I want to see you do right. Five and six. Look at verse 5 and 6. Only have one more, I think. We'll be done. That in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Okay, Paul commends them for their gifts. The word utterance means logos. It's saying a word with eloquence or discourse. That's what that word utterance means. It's saying a word with eloquence or discourse. Then he said knowledge. Paul was urging them that the gifts that they had or desired was given by God. Get a hold of that. The gifts that they had was given by God. Again, he's trying to get them to humble themselves instead of living so puffed up. He said that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hey, the Lord's going to take care of you. Just use what you got for him.
Amen.
I want you to notice, let me close. We go from Paul's rights to the letter and Paul's recipients to the letter, Paul's respect in the letter. Of course, I got two more, please forgive me. Paul's request in the letter, verse 7 and 8, he said, you come behind. In other words, you come behind in no gift. In other words, there's nobody as far as a person ahead of you. But he wants to make sure the gift is the minor, the giver is the gift. See, they were worshiping their gift when it should have been worshiping the one that gave it to them. The gift is the minor. The giver of the gift is the major. See, we lose focus. We get puffed up in our gifts. Now it's Wednesday night. We're here. And folks, the devil uses this issue in the singing. Now, I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just telling you the truth. That's Satan. That was Satan's deal in heaven. They were dealing with it in their knowledge, in their wealth. In the church age, if we're not careful, it gets mixed up in the singing.
That's right.
It does. And people get puffed up in the singing. Now, I ain't expect to get a bunch of amens here, and I'm not against any singer here. I believe if God give you talent to sing, sing and do it to the glory of God, though. Not to get an applause. Not to get a pat on the back. Same way we're preaching. God, it's a call. And folks, the Bible said if any man minister, that means serve. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability God gives him. So God gives you the ability, do it with that ability. Don't work outside your gift. You use the gift God gives you with the ability God gives you to use it with. And do it for His glory. And if my preaching was that God get the glory, if our singing was that God get the glory, if our testifying was that for God get the glory, are y'all with me? If our teaching was that for God to get the glory, and if everything we'd done in our lives was so that God would get the glory, He'd get the glory, and He'd show His glory. Yes. But Tony Hudson was talking about, and y'all probably, I know y'all have heard me tell this, but I'm finishing. I'm trying to keep it to right an hour unless God does something different. I know some of you tired. Some of you hadn't had supper. Said he had a professional Southern gospel singer come in, and there's nothing wrong with that if you know the difference. And he said, "This when I call him, when I say professional, I didn't say compromiser, I didn't say liberal, but he'd done it for a living. And I know him. I've heard him sing a trillion times. I believe he's a good man, but he knew how to perform. And he said in his congregation, people were going, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. He said during that, he said, those Henderson girls came in the back. I don't even know. I think one left. Mom and the two girls. And he saw them come in and he asked them to come up front and sing. And where are they from? Were they from Alabama, Brother Lavon? Where's they from? Alabama. Yeah. And didn't have anything. Come to that meeting, and Mama stood there in the front of the community table, girl, no music, no accompaniment, and just started singing for the glory of God. And he said, the place come undone. God, just the Spirit of God, just shoo. They weren't trying to impress anybody. They weren't trying to get an applause. They weren't trying to get a big offering. They weren't trying to get nobody to brag. They were just doing it for the glory of God. And he said that place, God moved in that place so strong and so mightily. And he said that professor was looking around like, what in the world? What in the world? They don't have the talent I got. They don't have the bookings I got. They ain't sold the albums and CDs and stuff I've sold. Yeah, but they had the power of God on them. And you know, you won't get the power of God on you, a clean life, a continual asking, and giving God the glory for it all. Amen. God will get on you. Amen. He'll get on that gift He's give you, and He'll make you a blessing, yes. And He'll touch your life. And Paul's trying to teach these people these things. And how we have to remind ourselves. We're forgetful. This flesh is forgetful. Right. Come on. Right. It's forgetful. My father-in-law, he said the first sermon he preached at Calvary Baptist Church in Landrum, he said, first message he ever preached, I think he's 15, 16-year-old, he said, I preached an hour and a half. He said, boy, man, it was awful. Oh, I mean, awesome. He said, I left out there. He said, I thought I was something. He said, my second sermon was in the prison. And he said, buddy, did they give me a heart? He said, did that crowd humble me, buddy? God, hey, I'd rather keep myself humble. Is God do it? Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. These people had issues with themselves. Paul dealt with it. He's going to deal with it through the whole book. He's going to deal with it, going to deal with it, going to deal with it, going to deal with it. And it seemed like they get worse and worse and worse. But you know what? Paul stayed the course. Right. Hey, folks, we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and give Him the glory for what He's done in our life. Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, sis. That's the introduction to the book.